Welcome to Lockdown Trivia. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host for this trivia podcast game. Playing with their own expert categories, players will try to unlock their brain one key at a time, but will they unlock it all? New episodes of Lockdown Trivia will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. If you'd like to play your own game of Lockdown Trivia, follow the link in the description of each episode to sign up. You'll need four expert categories and a favorite music genre. Stick around at the conclusion of each game for some bonus questions and for a commentary on the writing of the questions of that episode. While there's a lot to learn from playing trivia, there's perhaps more to learn from researching and writing it. Playing this week is Marty Weatherall from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Marty is the CEO and co-founder of LeagueOS, and his expert categories are 80s coming-of-age movies, NBA point guards, Minneapolis restaurants, and 1980s tennis. Here's how Lockdown Trivia works. Players see a board in front of them with four categories and five questions of increasing difficulty in each category. The first question in each category is unlocked, but the subsequent questions require one, two, three, and four keys respectively to open. Players earn keys by answering consecutive questions correctly. If a player misses a question, I will take all of their keys. Players can only open questions for which they have a sufficient number of keys. If the player is in a pinch, they have five bonus questions available to them that cannot break a streak or hurt them, but will give them an extra key each if they answer them correctly. A perfect score in Lockdown Trivia is 25 points. All right, Marty, are you ready to begin your game?
I believe I am ready to begin my game. Yes.
All right, I'm excited. We were talking before, but this has been my most enjoyable game of Lockdown Trivia to write, just because it was a particularly fun one to research and write good questions for. However, a certain age demographic is going to enjoy this game more than others, I think.
Fellow old people like myself. I am a child of the 80s. That's when my mind was like a trap. So let's see how it works out.
Well, let's see if you can unlock those traps here. Good, strong branding there. Let's get into it. Your categories today are 80s coming of age movies, NBA point guards since 1985, Minneapolis restaurants, and 1980s tennis. And then as usual, we have our bonus questions, which are When in the World, National Blank Day, Before and After, Deep Cuts, and Stormy Trivia.
So we have 80s tennis, we have 80s coming of age movies, we have NBA point guards in the last 40 years, which dates back to 1985. Things I've been paying attention to. And then Minneapolis restaurants, that's where I'm from. I will start with 80s coming of age movies. The unlocked question in the upper left.
Our first question of the game is this. What 1984 movie saw multiple movie sequels and a Netflix series follow it, with the most recent installment being an upcoming 2025 movie sequel starring Jackie Chan and Ben Wang?
I'm going to say The Karate Kid.
Karate Kid is correct. And man, I'm excited about this new movie. I don't know if you've seen the previews, but it looks really good.
I've not seen the previews. I'm an OG Karate Kid fan, but I watched a little of the Netflix series. It's fun how they've picked it up. It's nice that all the stars needed it, and they're into it.
Real. No, Ralph Macchio is in this movie for a reason. That's all I'm saying. He's still doing The Karate Kid in 2025. All right. That is a correct answer to start our game. So you have one key. Where would you like to go next?
I'm going to stick with 80s coming-of-age movies. I'm feeling good about it. I'll go to my one key question there.
All right, your next question is this. What 1989 movie starring Robin Williams was nominated at the Academy Awards for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actor, though it only ended up winning the award for Best Writing?
1989, Robin Williams. And it's a coming-of-age film. I think Mrs. Doubtfire was a little bit later in the 90s. So I'm going to say Hook.
Hook is an excellent guess that satisfies the Robin Williams part of the question. However, this is the Dead Poets Society.
Oh my gosh. I was not going there at all. I should have absolutely gotten that one. Okay.
One of my favorite movies. It's I think it's one of the most quotable movies that's ever been released ever.
It's a great one. And yeah, didn't even go there in my mind. Forgot about that one.
No worries, Marty, because there's plenty of space to go on the board. No keys. I have to take them away from you. However, we have options. Where are we going next?
Let's go for NBA point guards. Unlocked.
All right. The unlocked NBA point guard since 1985. Question is this. We're not going to have to go back quite so far for this question. What point guard was shockingly traded to the Lakers at the beginning of February 2025? The first time in NBA history that two reigning all-NBA team players were traded for each other mid-season.
Still very fresh. still very mysterious, still very shady, Luka Doncic.
It is Luka. That is correct. I am interested to see how that manifests over time. If more information comes out about that trade, it does just seem like it came out of nowhere, and for why?
I have a lot of opinions. One thing I'd like to do is find somebody who was around and paying attention in the early to mid 70s when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was traded from the Milwaukee Bucks to the Los Angeles Lakers. No one has really mentioned that, but to me, that's the only thing that I can really, you know, reference as something like this, because Kareem was still in the prime of his career. He was even a little bit older, but still very much in the prime. Had gone to the NBA championship, I think had won a championship with the Bucks, and then just went to LA because I guess that's what you do when you're a good player, and I'm fed up with it, to be honest. But that's the only reference, and I'm, you know, I've been around long enough to at least know that that happened. But everyone's talking about how this is the craziest trade in the history of the NBA, no question, maybe in all of sports. But I think there's this prior reference of that happening with the Lakers in particular. Super shady, super manipulative. The Timberwolves will still prevail despite all of this.
Makes me think of that quote that Annie Savoy said in Bull Durham, where she said, bad trades are part of baseball. I mean, who can forget Frank Robinson for Milt Pappas, for God's sake?
That's
yeah,
a good one.
Yeah. I digress. You got your question right, and you got a key in your pocket again. What would you like to do with it?
Let's keep going in the NBA. NBA point guards for the last 40 years, one key.
All right. Widely regarded as the best point guard in NBA history, what player's nickname was the same as an NBA team he never played for?
Irvin Magic Johnson.
Yes, Magic Johnson. Did not play for the Orlando Magic at any point, and that probably helped his overall winnings, I would say. Two questions in the NBA point guards category and two keys from them. What would you like to do next?
I think I want to keep going. NBA point guards.
All right.
I'm a linear
NBA point guards for two keys is this. What point guard who played his entire career from 1981 to 1994 for the Detroit Pistons shares his name, albeit different spelling, with a point guard who played for 10 different teams between 2011 and 2024?
That's a good question. I like how you put that one together. And the answer is Isaiah Thomas.
It is Isaiah Thomas. The correct answer, of course, being the one without two A's in his first name.
Right.
Yeah, I it was funny because as I was doing my research on that one, I was like, wait, Isaiah Thomas, I thought that was a player I know. And then I went, oh, it is. They have the same name.
And they were both point guards, which is
great. Yes, they were. Nice little coincidence there. You have three keys now to work with. Are we going to keep rolling in this point guard category?
I think so. Yeah, let's keep going.
All right. We like it. Three keys for NBA point guards is this. Known for his defensive prowess, what point guard who ranks fifth all time in steals played the majority of his career between 1990 and 2003 with a now defunct NBA team?
I believe you are talking about the glove, otherwise known as Gary Payton.
Played for the Supersonics. That is correct. Gary Payton, now the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Saw him play live. One of the first Timberwolves playoff series. We had a lead on the Supersonics and Gary Payton, only to lose it and to never get out of the first round for many more years. So yes, remember him well. His son now plays for the Golden State Warriors.
Nice. Yeah, I have to say, knowing your sports allegiances, I will never accuse you of being a bandwagon fan, because you empathize with my being a Dolphins and Cubs fan to know that, man, we've watched our teams lose a lot over our lives.
Loyalty is everything.
It is. And so is having four keys. You can open any question. Where do you want to go next?
I'm going to close out NBA point guards. I'm just thinking very linearly right now and feeling good.
It's working out for you so far. Why not? Here's the hypothetically hardest question of the NBA point guards category. One of the best European point guards in NBA history, what four-time NBA champion and one-time finals MVP was on the court when his teammate swatted a bat out of the air on Halloween in 2009?
2009. The point guard was a four-time NBA champion and one-time finals MVP, and his teammate swatted a bat out of the air on Halloween.
That literally happened, yep.
In 2009.
I'm going to encourage you to look this video up when we're done with our game, because there was a bat flying just above eye level and his teammate literally smacked it down into the court and killed it.
Based on the winnings of this European point guard, I have a guess as to who it is, but I just want to exhaust some other options who could have won that many titles and an MVP just to be sure. I have a pretty strong feeling, though, about this one, as well as some rather stoic teammates who could have done the swatting. And I'm just going through the year, you know, a lot of the Euros were not point guards. I thought you might be going for a question about Drazen Petrovic. I don't know if you came across his name. His life was cut short, a great scorer from Eastern Europe, but that is not the answer to this question. I thought you were going there when you said European. That's why I had you repeat it. I guess I'm just going to go with my hunch and the answer that I believe it is, and that is from France, Tony Parker.
I'm glad you did, because San Antonio Spurs helped you out there. Manu Ginobili is who knocked the bat out of the air. Yes, Tony Parker is correct. I think he's the best European point guard in NBA history, but for the sake of writing a trivia question, I wanted to say one of, just so we didn't make any delicate sensibilities get upset about that.
Well, and I was imagining Tim Duncan doing the swatting, but I thought it might be Manu. It might have been Tony's French teammate, Boris Diaw, but Manu, yeah, that makes total sense. He saves the day. Great sixth man, rarely a starter.
Yep. Okay. Marty, you've done something that not many people have done in lockdown trivia, and you have completely answered a category correctly. So congratulations. NBA point guard's definitely an expert category for you, and you have enough keys to do whatever you want. So let me know where you want to go next.
So I could pick a four key question now.
Yes, you could. If you want to go after them while you have the keys, for sure, you can absolutely do that.
I'm going to go for 80s coming of age movies, four keys.
All right. The hypothetically hardest 80s coming of age question in this game is this. What 1985 movie directed by Richard Donner made a dance famous that has a rhyming name that references edible fungi that grow underground and are prized for their rich flavor and aromas?
Richard Donner, 1985, coming of age. I'm thinking of Morels, but I don't think that's the answer. I'm not thinking of anything that is rhyming with that. I know some Richard Donner films. I know he directed Superman. I believe he directed the Lethal Weapon series. I'm trying to think what he did in 85, and I'm trying to make sure of it because I want to think about this song, or this dance that was made famous in the movie. The mushrooms that people go crazy for. They forage for them. I'm blanking. This is me doing this in the evening. I told you that was going to be a problem.
Better than the 11 p.m.
Oh, you know what? I got it. Goonies.
It is the Goonies. And the dance is the Truffle Shuffle.
Truffle Shuffle. That's it. Yep. It just took me a second to come back around, but yes, Goonies. Well done.
What finally got you there? What was the like aha moment?
Well, my first instinct was Lethal Weapon, but then I was thinking that was probably 87. And then I'm thinking, well, what was 85? And 85 was smack dab in the middle of this decade that, you know, defined me. And then I remembered, that's right, he made that film. And then, yeah, the chunk doing the Truffle Shuffle.
There for sure. All right. I believe we have six keys now, as we have run through the NBA category and added one more. So still, we can go anywhere we want in this game.
The 80s coming of age movies is a little tricky. I've not touched some of these other categories. I'm going to save my unlocks for when I need them and my bonus keys. While I have keys, I should knock out keys, I believe. That seems to be the strategy here. Let's go 80s tennis, four keys.
The hardest 80s tennis question. Here it is. Which player was the last Frenchman to win the French Open and the last men's player to win a Grand Slam with a wood racket when he accomplished both of these feats in 1983?
Well, the last Frenchman, and I remember him well, and I watched this French Open. His son played in the NBA. I didn't recall that his racket was wooden. It was a Lacoste Sportif racket with the rooster string stencil. Maybe it was wood, but it was not the old wood shape. But a fantastic, electrifying player, Yannick Noah.
Yeah, I was very surprised to find that Joachim Noah was the very same family. But you are correct. Yes, I've actually had to verify that wooden racket research, too, because it turns out that a women's player did win a Grand Slam with a wood racket after this. So that's why the specification in there says the last men's player to win a Grand Slam with a wood racket.
Interesting. Okay. I'll have to go back and see, you know, what the story on that Lecoq Sportif racket was. But he had Lecoq Sportif from head to toe. It's a French brand. He wore it well. He had a great space between his front teeth, and it was fantastic.
Marty, your strategy is paying off so far of use the keys while you've got them, because you have answered all three, four key questions correctly you've tackled so far. You've got plenty of keys. What do you want to do with them?
Well, I have not ventured into Minneapolis restaurants yet, but with this many keys, I feel like I should knock these big ones out while I can, and they are what they are. So let's go Minneapolis restaurants, four keys.
All right, here it is. With menus described as Midwestern cuisine with a Scandinavian influence, what Minneapolis restaurant's name refers to a type of freshwater fish known as the Cisco or lake herring?
That I thought you were maybe pointing toward, that was called akavit, which is named after a liquor from Scandinavia. This is not that. Trying to think by neighborhood and figure out if I can unlock it that way.
That is a real Minneapolis boy right there.
And if you were strict with the category of actually being in the city limits of Minneapolis versus the region. Okay.
Yes, it is addressed in Minneapolis.
A Scandinavian. I'm going to just throw out something that I think might be right, but it's the best I got right now. And it's something that people catch around here. Definitely. Out of the lakes. And I cannot think of any other fish that it could be. So I'm going to go with Sunfish.
Sunfish would be a name of a restaurant I would check out, but it's not the name of this restaurant that I want to check out. This is Tullaby.
Tullaby. Okay.
Tullaby.
That is at the Hewing Hotel in the North Loop. And I did not know that that was the name of a fish. I've eaten there, just didn't know it was the name of a fish.
Well, what's the review? Is it good?
They've had a couple chefs, executive chefs, kind of move through there. It's the hotel I would recommend first, because it's just in the heart. It's right in the heart of the coolest neighborhood in Minneapolis. The North Loop was nothing when I was growing up. Now it is the center of all the activity. Best nightlife is over there now. So good question. I just never knew that was a fish. They have great, like, thrice fried potatoes there. Fantastic.
I appreciate the accurate use of the word thrice anytime I hear that. Noted. I will have to check that out. And I guess I not only do I know what restaurant I'm going to check out next time I'm in the Twin Cities, but I know what hotel I'm going to stay at too now.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. So I got to work my way back up with some keys here.
Yes, you do. You have been efficient. You got all the four key questions opened. So you don't have any keys right now, but you have plenty of space to work with. So where would you like to go next?
Let's go 80s tennis unlocked, please.
Winning Wimbledon and the U.S. Open three times each during the 80s, what divisive tennis great has been called the most hated tennis champion of all time?
You could have said he won both thrice.
I could have said he won both thrice. You are correct.
In the 80s, there were only a few that were hated. Johnny Mack, John McEnroe.
It is John McEnroe. That is correct. I like him much better as a commentator than I think the average person liked him as a player. But again, I was born in 1995, so what do I know?
Connors was also divisive, but he did most of his damage in the 70s in terms of Grand Slam. So, okay.
Fair enough.
All right, so I have a key.
Yep.
Let's stick with 80s tennis. One key, please.
All right, let's see what we got next. Which female tennis legend was the first to achieve the Golden Slam in 1988 when she won all four Grand Slam titles and the gold medal in singles at the Olympics in Seoul?
Andre Agassi's bride, Steffi Graf.
Steffi Graf won that Golden Slam.
Let's stick with 80s tennis.
All right, 80s tennis for two keys. Which tennis great appeared in the finals of the U.S. Open 8 years in a row in the 80s, being the only men's player to win a given Grand Slam 3 years in a row in the 80s?
The only player that was that good. So 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89. So the only way to do it 8 years in a row at the end would have been starting in 82 and getting all the way to 89.
I love the math work on that thought process. Just saying that, shout that out. That's a great way to think about the question.
Because 90 wouldn't count. This is 80s tennis. I mean, there's only one player that was that good for that long. I just don't remember a streak like that for him. But he was so consistently good. This will be shocking to me if it is the answer, and I'll be even more shocked if it's not the answer, because I don't know who else it would be. It had to be somebody that was at the top of their game during that swing. Early 80s, you had McEnroe and Borg. No one was messing with them, but they did not last. So it cannot be in those early 80s. So I'm going back to the Czech. It's got to be the Czech, Ivan Lendl.
It is Ivan Lendl. Correct answer. Good pull there.
Yeah, thank you for that. Good question.
Cool. All right. We have three keys in our pocket. What do you want to do with them?
I'll go three with 80s tennis to close it out.
Let's close out tennis, see if it's going to be like NBA or see if it's going to be like one of the others. Your three key question is this. With her mixed doubles championship at the 2006 U.S. Open, partnering with Bob Bryan, what 80s tennis great became the oldest player to win a Grand Slam title ever?
You need somebody who is a great net player and a female player from the 80s, great at the net, when the serve and volley era was still alive and well, and you had players at the net all the time. She was a fantastic doubles player. I'm just using logic here to, I did not recall this particular partnership with Bob Bryan. But it's got to be Martina Navratilova.
It absolutely is Martina Navratilova. With a perfect 5 out of 5 in 1980s tennis, you have proven again that is definitely an expert category for you, and you are cooking right now with four keys. There are no more four key questions left, but you can go anywhere on the board you want.
All right. I guess, you know, I've got those red marks that one of them I should have gotten. I mean, that was just bugging me. So I'm going to try to redeem myself with 80s coming of age movies and go for three keys.
All right. 80s coming of age for three keys is this. In his feature directorial debut, Cameron Crowe gave us what 1989 movie that Entertainment Weekly called the greatest modern movie romance and ranked 11th on the best high school movies ever?
Cameron Crowe's directorial debut, starring John Cusack and Ione Skye. Ione Skye recently making headlines about her relationship with Anthony Kiedis back in the day. I don't know if you saw that, but she just wrote a tell-all autobiography, and she goes in depth. She was only 16, I guess, when she was making this movie and started dating Kiedis, who was quite a bit older. The movie is Say Anything.
It is. And I thought, man, don't include John Cusack in your clue. It'll make it a little harder. Didn't matter. You not only told me that, you told me more. All right, Marty, you got enough keys to do what you want. And you're doing very well so far. Where to next?
Let's go for the big ones. Let's go Minneapolis restaurants, three keys. Let me redeem myself there.
All right. Minneapolis restaurant for three keys is this. Awarded TripAdvisor's Traveler's Choice Best of the Best in 2024. What restaurant with a mathematical expression in its name features mostly locally sourced seasonal food?
Oh, shoot. So TripAdvisor said this is best of the best in Minneapolis in 2024?
Yes, correct.
If I could just remember Kaysen's other place, I would go with that. Seasonal, blah, blah, blah. What else is new? That's par for the course. I doubt you'll give me credit for it, but I'm going to say it's Gavin Kaysen's tasting menu place.
Unfortunately, I can't get credit for that. This is the Wood and Paddle Eatery.
Dalton, I've never heard of that restaurant.
What question is next? I think you're going to hate that restaurant now. Like, now you're going to go there and be like, this is awful.
I don't think it exists, but we'll come back to that. Okay, let's go. I got to stick with restaurants because now I'm on a rampage. Unlocked Minneapolis restaurants, please.
All right, here we go. Two bars about 3 miles from each other on Cedar Avenue both claim to have invented what food item, though they disagree on the correct spelling of the cheesy indulgence.
The Juicy Lucy.
The Juicy Lucy is correct. See, there's a marked difference in difficulty between the zero key and the four key question.
All right, I have a key. Let's go one key Minneapolis restaurant, please.
All right, here's your question. The first location of what chain restaurant opened at the Mall of America in 1994? A place you cannot go without seeing artificial foliage on the ceilings and walls.
The Rainforest Cafe.
That is correct. The Rainforest Cafe started there in the Twin Cities.
Interesting. I don't know if I knew that, but I've certainly been there.
That was the very first one.
All right. So now I got two keys, and I've got two keys spots.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to 80s movies. Two keys, please.
I will note Marty has not used any of his bonus questions yet. He hasn't needed them. He's got through all these questions without using them, and that's quite a feat so far. Your two key 80s coming of age movie question is this. Eventually becoming a Broadway musical nominated for 5 Tony Awards in 1996, what 1988 movie drives home the message that getting older isn't all it's cracked up to be?
It's throwing me off the Broadway side of it. What were the big movies in 88? I need this one. I don't want to have to go back. I mean, I guess I can... 88, what was coming out that year? that turned into a Broadway. Yeah, I got it. Big.
Doesn't sound too happy to get it right, but he gets it right anyway. It is Big. Yes.
Be too long to figure that one out, but yes, Big.
Okay. Big the Musical was the nominated and not winning Tony 1996 cast there.
Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. That, so right. That question's far too easy if I say starring Tom Hanks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you disguised it well. And by the way, I'm not, you know, thank you for the compliment earlier, but I did pick all these categories. So you did a good job of making some fun questions. All right, let's go Minneapolis restaurants for two keys.
All right, your question is this to wrap up the category. What Italian restaurant that started in the basement of an apartment building in Minneapolis and grew into a massively successful national chain filed bankruptcy on August 5th, 2024?
A national chain Italian restaurant. The basement of an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's got to be Buca di Beppo.
It is Buca di Beppo. That is correct. They just filed for bankruptcy, believe it or not.
Yeah. They got a few locations here. I didn't realize how national they'd become, but the original location is still, like a basement level. It's under a building and on one side of downtown. Okay, cool.
In writing that, I imagined that the original no longer existed. I'm happy to know that it absolutely does.
It does, although I don't know what's happened since the bankruptcy. Maybe they've closed it, but I have a neighbor who's a wait staff there. So
cool.
Okay, so now I can go along the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, what you've done, for those that are trying to keep track, you have gone through all 20 questions that you've submitted for expert categories. You've got 17 out of 20 of those questions. You didn't need bonus questions at all. So now it's the icing on the cake part of the game, where we only go up in our score from 17 here. No risk. Nothing's going to break streaks. You just get to answer these now. And it's just a matter of what order you want to go in for your bonus questions.
When in the world I have to pick the year?
Correct.
Let's go that.
When in the world, your clues are this. The Spanish flu emerged and would go on to kill at least 50 million people worldwide. The United States Congress passed the Sedition Act. The Boston Red Sox defeated the Chicago Cubs after an abbreviated season in the World Series.
It's either 1917 or 1918. I'm going to say 1918. I'm
glad you did. It's 1918. That's the a year I know well as a Cubs fan. That's sort of what the inspiration was behind. Let's write a couple more clues about that year that I loathe.
Because the Cubs had lost one in 07, and the curse of the Bambino had been since 18.
Yep.
The Red Sox side of that, I'd forgotten that they'd beaten the Cubs, actually. I just knew the Cubs had been to the series since 07, just never won it. I'd forgotten that that's who it was. Okay.
Well, I have to say, typically the win in the world category or question, typically the win in the world question can be one of the big stumpers, and you got it correct. So up to 18 points. What are we going to do next?
You say today is National Barbie Day, so that's what I have for
Barbie
Day. All right, let's go.
He's been waiting for it. National Barbie Day question is this. Sharing her last name with the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who joined the bench in 2005, Barbie's full name is Barbara Millicent what?
Roberts.
Roberts is correct.
Oh, thank you. Well, I didn't know that, but at least I know the Supreme Court. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know what? You need two ways into any good trivia question.
I like it. I appreciate it.
All right, up to 19 points. How much more will we add?
All right, I'll go with before and after. I'm going to have to piece this together. This is like a wait, don't tell me style question, I think.
The prequel series to the most successful HBO series of all time changes genres and becomes appropriate for children so it can teach educational lessons on PBS from 1999 to 2005.
Did The Sopranos have a prequel? Did the Wire have a prequel? Sex and the City had a prequel? I don't know that that was as successful. I don't know the name of the Sopranos sequel or prequel. There was like a early 20th century like mob thing that they made, which could have been like a Sopranos sequel. What was the name of that thing? I'm going to use the back half to try to unlock it. That's not a long run. Educational lessons to children. I don't know if that was Reading Rainbow. It was, I didn't have kids yet, and I was certainly not a kid anymore.
This is that purgatory time for kids for your life, for sure. This is definitely my kid time.
Yeah. So trying to back into it from that side, and then this series that I can only think is the prequel to The Sopranos, what in the world was that called? I watched it, but it just wasn't that great. It wasn't that special. Sopranos has to be the most successful HBO series of all time. If it's Game of Thrones, I don't know what the prequel series of Game of Thrones is either, because I just am not a Game of Thrones guy. But the only two shows it could be are Sopranos and Game of Thrones. And I don't know enough about PBS in that purgatory. So I am struggling with this one. Book reading rainbow. It makes no sense.
It's better than not guessing at all. You did correctly suss out what the most successful HBO series of all time would have to be in those two guesses. While The Sopranos is my favorite HBO series, Game of Thrones is by nearly every measurement the most successful HBO series that they've ever had. The prequel series to Game of Thrones that's actively releasing season still is called House of the Dragon. And the PBS show is called Dragon Tales. Oh, so man. The correct before and after here is House of the Dragon Tales.
Good one. Yeah, I did not know enough about what followed Game of Thrones just because I haven't cracked into that one. But a good question. Well done, Dalton.
I appreciate it. All right, two questions left. You just get to pick your poison. Which one's first?
I'll go Deep Cuts.
Deep Cuts. All right. Your self-reported favorite expert genre of music is yacht rock.
Yeah.
And so this will come from that. I will give you five songs from the first album of a definitively yacht rock artist. You will just try to identify the artist. Here are the names of the five songs on their first album. Say You'll Be Mine, I Really Don't Know Anymore, Spinning, Poor Shirley, The Light Is On.
If they had a hit on their first album, you were not picking the hit. You're picking the deep cuts.
I didn't pick either of the two hits that came on their first album.
I've got a few that I think it could be. I think it could be Toto. I think it could be Christopher Cross. Might be Kenny Loggins. All those are canonical yacht rock artists. Michael McDonald did so many different things, and I don't think Michael McDonald would have named some of his songs those things. I might be wrong, but I don't think it's Michael McDonald. Truly deep cuts. You've lived up to the category.
And now you'll enjoy listening to this album later tonight.
I don't know if I will.
Depends on how this question goes, I guess.
I'm just gonna pick one. I'm gonna say Toto.
You were so close. You knew you listed one of the correct answers. This is from, what if I told you my favorite song in this album was Ride Like the Wind?
Christopher Cross.
It is Christopher Cross. You were right there.
Okay. Good question. I got one more. Stormy. I can't remember what this means.
This is a random question that I like a lot that you should know.
Okay.
And so I think you'll enjoy ending the game. I really hope you'll enjoy ending the game here. Let's try to go for this Stormy trivia question. It is this. What redundantly named minor league baseball team began in 1883 as the Sioux City Cornhuskers and had no affiliation to Major League Baseball until 2021?
And yeah. Now I know why it's redundant. Okay. I mean, I just didn't know that it was, okay. I mean, it's got to be the St. Paul Saints.
It absolutely is the St. Paul Saints. We brought it back home at the end of the episode.
I appreciate it. I don't know why it took so long on that one, but finally crafted questions, Dalton.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate you inviting me on the show. Now I have to go to this restaurant and prove or disprove its existence and report back to you.
We can neither confirm nor deny whether it exists or if it in fact is good. Marty, you got 20 points, and that is no slouch of a game. Despite these being expert categories, they are definitely designed to be challenging to an expert in their categories. And 20 out of 25 is a really strong score here. So congratulations on a good lockdown trivia game. And I can already tell, just based on the vibe in general, that we will have Marty Weatherall in a future game where he will try to run it back and improve on that score.
I had a lot of fun. I don't know where you found this format or if you created it or what happened, but it is super fun, and it requires a good question writer, which you are, and thank you for inviting me. And yeah, now that I've been through it, I'm rearing to go again. You just let me know when.
All right, Marty, do you have any shout outs you want to make?
Well, since we met through the world of Scholastic Esports, and my company LeagueOS is the operating system upon which several state high school esports leagues run and several collegiate esports conferences run, I will just say that we are introducing some cool new stuff soon. We did our first recruiting combine back in January. We have our Portal Combine 2 happening June 18th in St. Louis, Missouri. So anybody out there that is listening because they know that part of your background, come to St. Louis June 18th. It's right before the NACAD National Convention. We'll have the top high school esports prospects and college recruiters from all over. And we do a lot of fun things like show matches and skill tests and VOD reviews. And that's what I have to plug. I'm really excited about it.
The second Portal Combine coming up. The first one was a blast in a very frigid Ohio State University weekend. It was a lot of fun and seeing some of the best esports athletes, high school esports athletes from across the country, as far as Montana, coming all the way to Ohio State there. I imagine that's only going to keep getting bigger and bigger every year.
St. Louis should be a good location to draw people from all over. We're looking forward to it. Hope you'll be there as well.
The gateway to their future.
That's right.
All right, Marty, thank you very much. And we'll see you next time you're on the show.
Thank you, Dalton. This was fun.
Thanks again, Marty, for coming on the show. I cannot wait for you to be back on it to get your run back and see what we can do with the second episode score. Let's talk about that Minneapolis restaurants category, everybody. What a challenge that was to write a category as a non-local for locals that are wanting a challenging but fair category about their cuisine. Not living there, you have to research and use the resources you have. So I looked at Yelp. I looked at TripAdvisor. I looked at Google. I looked at what people were saying about it. But at some point, you have to recognize that the more local you get, the more difficult that question is going to be. I ask myself, as a Springfield, Illinois, you know, born and raised person, what do I want people to know? Well, they need to ask me a question about the horseshoe. But I know a lot about it, so maybe they need to ask me a question about where it's from. They need to ask me about the fact that the corn dog was invented at the Illinois State Fair in Springfield. You know, there are certain things that if you're from there, you take great pride in, and those are quote unquote fair game to you, which maybe the average person from outside of your locale is not going to know. So the research is really important and the feedback is really important. At some point, there's going to be a disconnect in local versus non-local trivia writing. And so I think that my learning experience from this is if you're going to write very local trivia, you must have boots on the ground. You must have somebody you trust that is intelligent, that knows how to write trivia, or at the very least can give you feedback on, hey, I think this is a difficult question. Do you know this? If they're intelligent and they love trivia and they don't know it, that's probably a hard question. If they're not that intelligent and don't play trivia all that often and they know it, that's probably your baseline question. And jokes aside, you have to be careful with those local trivia writing because everyone has an opinion on their locale and you want to make sure that you're being fair, but being general enough that not only could you answer that question if you're from Minneapolis, but you could answer that question if you're from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And that's where we got those earlier questions. So that was a fun challenge and I'm really glad Marty's a great sport about it. Our bonus question from this episode comes from an off-air conversation with Marty since he got all of his questions, and the bonus question is this. A batter can reach first base safely in 7 ways in baseball. Name as many of them as you can. While you're thinking about that, I want to thank Marty one more time for being on this episode of Lockdown Trivia and invite you to join us. Follow the link in the description of each episode to sign up. All you'll need is 4 expert categories and your favorite music genre. The 7 ways to get on first base are a hit, a walk, an error, fielder's choice, a hit by pitch, a drop third strike, and a defensive interference. New episodes will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back wherever you get your podcasts for some more Lockdown Trivia fun. My name is Dalton McGee, and I've been your host. I can't wait to continue to research, continue to write, and continue to play, but most importantly, continue to learn as we unlock your brain one key at a time.
TripAdvisor, how the hell do they come up with their stuff? That's a good one. That's what you get with an out-of-towner writing Minneapolis restaurant questions.
Dude, I picked TripAdvisor's number 1. What do you want from me?